By my very unofficial count, this Sunday's reading from Romans, our second lesson, is the 23rd time here in lectionary year A that we get a second reading from Romans. The 23rd time, which is a lot. It's the first year of the lectionary, and the people who put the lectionary together knew that Romans was a really important part of the New Testament, and so they got through a lot of it and spent just about half the year on it. So we might talk about that today a little bit. The other reason I want to talk about Romans today is because I really enjoy being described as the weak. I think that's a lot of fun. I haven't eaten meat besides fish or accidents since August of 2001, so no chicken or beef or ham or whatever Sally found in the freezer this morning. No mystery meat for me. So I think this is a good time to tell you all why I'm vegetarian, right? Doesn't that seem like a fun use of a sermon today? I don't know. There's lots of true stories about why I'm vegetarian. This is one of them. So I was at working at Bible camp 20 years ago in the summer, and I worked at day camp, which meant I'd go out to a different church every week and come back and at the end of the week and help everybody clean up, basically. But I spent most of the time away from camp. So I got home one week from being off at day camp, and there was this guy visiting, and he was some pastor from Nebraska who just showed up, I guess, during the week while I was gone. And he had worked at the camp like 10, 12 years before that as a day camp director like me, and he had some vacation time. So he just cruised up to this camp and popped in and said, "Hey, can I crash here for the week?" And they said, "You bet." So he was there, and I met this guy, and I got to know him, and I wound up talking with him a little bit and giving him a ride to the local pizza place when the week was over, when we were done cleaning on Friday. And we talked. We talked about Bonhoeffer. We talked about sort of how to live out our faith. We talked about his history of working at the camp, and he had done the day camp thing in my hometown where I grew up while I was a kid there, but I was Catholic, so I didn't go. And we talked about how he had done Lutheran Volunteer Corps after college. And when he was in Lutheran Volunteer Corps, he had become vegetarian, and I think had stayed vegetarian until that time that I met him, although I'm not certain of that detail anymore. But anyway, as I talked with this guy, I just got this sense like, wow, I feel like my life is going to follow this random guy in some ways. And it has in some ways. So the following year, I also decided to do Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And so I had it in my head that, you know, this guy I knew had joined Lutheran Volunteer Corps and become vegetarian. So I had it in my head that I would do the same. I would just become vegetarian when I got in Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And so I spent the year kind of getting ready for that and eating meat less and less. And so that my first day of Lutheran Volunteer Corps was the first day that I didn't eat meat. And sure enough, one of my other housemates had been vegetarian for like a decade before that or something. And so we just didn't eat meat in the house, and I kind of got used to it, and that's what we did for that year. And the second year of LVC, it was the same thing with a different group. So that's kind of how I became vegetarian. But the thing about that is those years, the 2 years I spent in Lutheran Volunteer Corps, were a really important time for me in my life of exploring spiritual practices. So, you know, I lived in intentional community with the other people, and we had house rules, and we shared chores and money and all these different things. You know, we shared meals together and a plan for making those meals. We all worked for justice in various nonprofit agencies in those times. And I did a lot of sort of personal spiritual practices, too. I had like a prayer corner in my bedroom where I would pray, you know, most days, and had sort of icons and different things that I used. I would do walking meditation inspired by Zen Buddhist meditation practices. So I was doing all these spiritual practices, and somehow being vegetarian, not eating meat, became one of those spiritual practices. You know, it was as I thought about it through those years and as I reflected on it since, it wound up that being, for me, not eating meat became a choice that I could make, sort of just to show myself that I could make choices, that I had agency, that I could make choices that could be healthy for me and could be healthy for other people. Not that being vegetarian was like, I wasn't one of these sort of moralist vegetarians that thought nobody should eat meat and whatever else. I don't really care what other people do, but for me, it became a healthy practice for my own self, for my own body, for my own finances, and I think for the greater environmental good of our nation. That's kind of how I came to be vegetarian. And over the years, I started eating fish again a little bit and some of those things. But ultimately, you know, my choice to continue not eating meat, besides just to confound my parents, I think is also part of the thing. Sorry, Mom. But you know, the real reason that I continue to do this is that, you know, I have, it just reminds me that I could make a lot of choices. I could do a lot of different things in my life. And this is a choice that I make. This is a thing that I've chosen to do. And I chose it in the time, again, when I was exploring spiritual practices the most, really, in my life. And it just reminds me, like, every day I make the choice to follow my baptismal vows. Every day I make the choice to be a pastor and not an accountant, which I would love being an accountant, I think. You know, ultimately, I think Paul is right, that I'm weak. And so I use this choice as something to remind myself of my own limitations and of my own capacity to make choices and do what I want to do and lead the life that I want to lead. And it's the choice that I make every day. You know, every day I choose not to eat meat. Every day I choose to follow Jesus. So in our lesson from Romans today, Paul makes this excellent point that it doesn't matter which particular practices we follow as long as we do those things to serve God. To quote, says, "Also those who eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God." Just before that, he talks about those who celebrate certain days differently, and I wonder if he means maybe the Sabbath, or if he means sort of holidays, like local, you know, holidays, or even like the days celebrating other gods in Rome there. I'm not sure exactly what Paul means there. He says, those who celebrate the days and see some as special, that's okay, as long as you're doing it to honor God. And those who ignore it and think every day is the same, that's fine too, as long as you're doing that to honor God. I think Paul's lesson is ultimately about humility and graciousness toward one another, that we don't have all the answers, and my way is not the only way. You know, Paul was writing to this community in Rome, a church he'd never visited, where he was planning to go there, but so much of what he wrote was about divisions and distinctions that happen in these communities between the Jewish people and the Gentile people, particularly between people from different backgrounds and different socioeconomic classes. All of the churches that Paul dealt with had these kinds of divisions, these struggles, these power plays. And Paul wanted the Roman church to know that he understood that everybody was equal in the eyes of God, and that these little quibbles about how you do this thing or how you do that thing, how you set up the chairs for the meal after worship, that's not what matters. That's not what's important. What's important is that everything we do for the glory of God. This lesson that Paul teaches on, you know, sort of humility and graciousness, on not insisting on one way for everyone, I think it goes well with Jesus' teaching on forgiveness in our gospel lesson today. Excuse me. There's no such thing as too much forgiveness. And as Jesus' parable reminds us, we forgive one another because God has first forgiven us. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have received forgiveness 77 times, an infinite number of times, an infinite amount of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the basis of our relationship with God, and realistically, it's the only basis for our relationship with one another as well. Now, a quick caveat about this forgiveness stuff. We need to remember that last week, someone approached Jesus with the same question. What do I do if someone, a member of the church, sins against me? Just like Peter asked this week, what do I do if a member of the church sins against me? This week, Jesus talks about forgiveness and forgiveness forever and infinite forgiveness. Last week, Jesus talked about accountability and about repentance before reconciliation. Remember last week, he had said, you know, if someone sins against you, go and speak to them individually, and if that doesn't work, bring a few members of the church, and if that doesn't work, go to the whole church, and if that doesn't work, treat that person as a tax collector or a Gentile, I believe, so an outsider, which is not to say to break relationship with them, but is to say to start that relationship anew, to start over in a fresh place with that person. So in answering the same question, it's not that we should just forgive and let somebody continue to hurt us in the same way. It's not to be a willing victim of abuse. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness goes along with, hand in hand with, accountability and repentance. And in fact, accountability and repentance come before forgiveness in the way that Jesus talks about it. And I think that's important. Back to Romans. Paul talks about when we judge others or when we demand that others follow the same path or practices as us, we are hurting not just those others, but ourselves. You know, when we don't forgive people, it's often us. If I don't forgive someone, it's me that carries that burden, that carries that weight, that carries that hurt and that grudge. And it often doesn't hurt the person I'm not forgiving. They don't care. They don't even notice. But I'm the one that's hurting if I can't forgive from my heart, as Jesus says. If my heart is curdled by this old hurt, then I'm the one being hurt. And just like that in Romans, Paul, you know, knows that we're hurt if we're the ones judging others. It's not just the ones being judged who are hurt. If I think I have all the answers, if I think I have the one true path, like the one true path to God, I will inevitably not only be wrong, but I will also miss many opportunities to learn and to grow in my faith, to learn from others, to recognize that there are other ways of doing things that could benefit me as well. Spending my time and energy pointing out what's wrong with everyone else leaves very little time and energy for loving and serving God and my neighbor. It's not a way to live. Living in judgment of other people, it's just, because then you start to worry about other people judging you, and you start to doubt yourself because your judgments aren't always going to be right, and it's no way to live. It's terrible. As I think of these important lessons about not judging others, about forgiveness, about allowing other pathways and other practices, I can't help but think that 2020 is a good time to think about those, and especially as we approach the election coming up. It's going to be a messy election season, no matter how you slice it. You will disagree with people. There's a lot of strong disagreement in our communities today. People will take other paths. People will practice their faith in ways different than you do. People sort of across the political aisle will certainly make different choices than you do, but also people who you might agree with politically, but you don't agree with their way of going about it. So, for instance, the people who, you know, in this pandemic, many of us are staying home a lot. And on the other side of that, a different practice is the people who are spending every day at George Floyd Square in Minneapolis, or at least going there every day, maybe for the morning meeting, or spending their days or even their nights there. There are people doing different things. And most of the people at George Floyd Square are doing that as an expression of their faith. I've been there a few times now. I've gotten to talk to enough people. It's pretty clear that many of the people there are expressing their faith and expressing their values by being in that place, by trying to work for justice in that way. There's churches that do things differently, right? We do Zoom worship like this. There's others that do their online worship by live streams, like on Facebook. Or there's others that record everything on YouTube and play the video together. There's other churches that are worshiping in parking lots, like my wife's church this morning. There's still other churches that are worshiping inside buildings together. And don't even get me started on different communion practices that churches are trying to do. We're going to try to do outdoor communion next Saturday morning, in addition to our regular Sunday worship. Other people are making different choices. And it's not for us to judge those other choices or to condemn people or to think that we have the one right way. I think we've found the right way for us. But we know that there are other ways to faithfully follow Jesus in these complicated days. If there is one way to follow Jesus, then that one way is together. There's no one way to follow Jesus. We know that. That's what Paul says. But if there is one thing that we do have in common, it's together. And if we follow Jesus together, then I can promise that that's going to be annoying. Because not all the choices made are going to be the ones I want or the ones you want. And not all the directions we go are going to be the ones I want or the ones you want. And not all the songs we sing are going to be the ones I want or the ones you want. Although I get to choose more of the ones I like. It's true. That's just what it means to be in community, to try to work together toward common goals. It's frustrating. It's not always easy. People do different things. People have different perspectives, different worldviews. And that's to be celebrated. That's not just an annoyance that we have to get past. It's something that we should be doing, and that's why we try to have relationships, you know, with Good Samaritan Church and Pastor William, and with the other churches at our place, you know, with Ebenezer Aline Spanish Language Church that meets in person in our building on Sunday afternoons, and with the Heaven Citizenship Church that is meeting in our school building. You know, we try to have relationships with those folks because those people are also faithfully following Jesus. And it looks different, and it might sound different, different languages, different music, different practices, but ultimately we know that that's what the church looks like. It doesn't just look like us here gathered on this Zoom. It looks like many people from all around our neighborhood and all around the world. And we need to listen to one another to discern what God's will is for all of us, not just the few of us who are together on this call. It's not just about you and Jesus or about me and Jesus, but it's about you and Jesus and a bunch of other people. And a lot, some of those people are going to disagree with you, either a little or a lot. So back to what Paul wrote, eat meat or don't. Pray at home or pray in the streets or march in the streets. Instead of judging others for being different than you, give thanks for what God has given us together. I'm going to close up here, allow Paul to have the last word, since this is the last Sunday, I think, that we're going to have a Romans reading as our second lesson here in lectionary year A. Paul writes, some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Amen.